Okay, well, just to reiterate Murray's welcome this evening. It's great to have you with us. My name is Rob. I'm on the staff team here, and I kind of look after under 25. So if you are new, if you're a student, especially warm welcome, it'd be great just at the end to just catch you and just introduce myself and all that kind of stuff. But just also for those students in the room, next Sunday kind of sees the kickoff again of our kind of student programmes. So next Sunday at 4 o'clock, in one of our buildings next door, we're having a big meal together just before the service. So if that is you, please feel free to come along. So it's a free 3-course meal. That's quite tricky to say fast. So really, you know, free food. Why would you not want to be there? It would be my excuse. But tonight we are beginning a new series for the next couple of weeks, focusing on this idea of rhythms, if you haven't got that idea from behind me. And I suppose the reason that we have wanted to do this was it's a new year, it's a fresh start. A lot of us make resolutions and maybe set goals for the year ahead and different things we want to do or be part of. So we thought we'd just kind of have a look at what some of the rhythms are that maybe God asks us as Christians to define or to do, and how we could maybe apply those into the lives that we lead. But I wonder, when you think of the word rhythm, what pops into your head? And as I was thinking about this, there were three things that popped into mind. So the first one was the idea of a music rhythm. So for those of you that are in the room that are musical, maybe are in a worship band or in a band, you'll know that there is a rhythm and a beat that you need to follow to allow a song to sound like reasonably like it's meant to. I'm not particularly gifted with musical rhythm. Anyone that stands next to me when I'm singing will know that. So just be warned. So yeah, that's one type of rhythm. The second one is your heart rhythm. So most of us, hopefully all of us, will know that our heart is currently beating to a rhythm, and that rhythm is keeping us alive. And if there was a problem with that rhythm, there would be quite a problem, and you may need some medical advice. So if that's anyone here this evening, you know, please get that medical advice as soon as possible. But then, so those were the two kind of things that I was thinking about when I was thinking of the word rhythm. So I thought what I would do is I'd have a look in the dictionary and see how it would define the word rhythm. And what it told us, or what it said, was that it was a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement. And what I quite liked about this definition is that it gives you three things that it has to be. So it has to be strong, it has to be regular, and it has to be repeated. And if you think about it, if you were to take out one of those words, would it really be the idea of a rhythm or something that you wanted to be part of? So if it was just something that was regular and repeated, to me that doesn't sound very exciting. It doesn't sound like something that I want to do or I'm a keen to be part of. If I took out the word regular, would it really be a rhythm? Would it really be a pattern that I wanted to see? Because it would just be something that was strong and repeated. And so I really like those three words when it comes to thinking about what a rhythm is. However, it seems to me that it's only when we notice that rhythms are out of sync in our life or out of play that we realise that the rhythms are actually there. Rhythms are something that all of us will have going on in our lives, whether we know it or not. And there'll be routines and habits that we do sometimes without even noticing. And they're the rhythms that shape our life, that direct our life. And that's kind of the idea that we're going to be looking at this evening. Or what are these rhythms that are shaping our life? And what are some of them that from the Bible we could be doing more or maybe less of? Now for me, yesterday there was a certain rhythm that I had to get into when I was taking part in an activity yesterday, and that was the rhythm of breathing. Now, and the reason that I mentioned breathing specifically is that I was trying to pace myself up this particular hill as I was running it. So for those of you that don't know where this is, this is the road that sneaks up the back of the castle. If you're approaching it from the roundabout near the fire station, it's a particularly steep hill. Because I, yesterday, was taking part in the Great Stirling Castle Run, which was kind of went round King's Park, which was fairly okay. I tend to run kind of off road, so King's Park was fine. That was a good kind of pace. You came over round King's Park and up and over the Cannons, but to get up to the Cannons, you had to face this hill. And when I reached the bottom of it, or reached half of it, what I noticed was that I totally lost my rhythm of breathing. And in this particular section of the course, this is where I felt that my pacing and rhythm disappeared. And it was because of my breathing that was preventing me from pushing on at the pace that I had been going. And it's interesting when we think about this idea of a rhythm, that when it changes or it stops, or it changes pace. That also has a longer term effect on our long term goals. Whatever it is that our rhythm is allowing us to achieve, and when the pace changes, and we see a change in that rhythm and a change in our life as well. And I suppose there could be a similar idea of this idea of that pace and that rhythm on our journey with God. As we go about our lives, there will be times when we get pacing wrong or the rhythm of something wrong. And this prevents us, as I've said, from moving onwards and causes us to slow down in that direction and in that path. And this is because the Bible teaches us that we are designed to be in rhythm, designed to be in rhythm with God. And these can also be known as habits or practices or maybe disciplines. For example, Richard Foster, in his popular book, The Celebration of Discipline, explores the classic disciplines of the Christian faith. If you haven't read that book, I would highly recommend it. It gives you a bigger, kind of deeper overview of some of the things that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Therefore, it's this rhythm that we're talking, this idea of rhythm with God that we want to investigate and look at a little bit further at the beginning of the year. But why would we want to do that? Why is this something? Why is it the beginning of the year that resolutions and goals and rhythms are something that we stop and we rethink about? Now, I sometimes pride myself in being a planner. For anyone that's worked with me and has been on the team with me, they will know that I love a good spreadsheet. I love to know where we're aiming for and how we're going to get there. And actually, sometimes the uncertainty scares me and makes me a little bit nervous. And sometimes a little bit frustrated. And there's a few people nodding their head in the room. So it's reassuring to know that I'm quite self-aware. I'm a bit of a planner. And I think for each of us in the room, there will be times, whether we're planners or not, where we've had to sit down and really set ourselves a goal or set ourselves a target because we've wanted to achieve something. We wanted to get to a certain point. And these plans that we make also go some way to showing those around us what it is that's important to us. So one particular memory I have of this is when I was at school and even university in some circumstances. And when it came round to the time of essays or exams or of deadlines, there'd be a certain group of my friends who would just totally disappear. And they totally disappear because they were the ones that were revising, were removing everything from their calendars to make sure that the revision was taking place. Social occasions weren't on their agenda, and nothing else apart from studying and working through the work was what they were focused on. And that's because their goals and their aims were to get the highest grades possible, potentially to go on to certain career choices or to certain places. But they knew at that time that they had to make that sacrifice and that decision and to get where they wanted to be. And it's the same with our faith. The rhythms and the routines that we choose to adopt and act as gateways into our lives of what really matters to us, of what really we want to give our time to and what we want to give over space to in our lives. And often without us knowing, it's our routine that shows a lot about us. It also shows what we believe to be important to us and important in our lives. So as we begin this new year, it's important for us to think about the routines and the rhythms that we already have in our life, and what it reveals to us and those around us about what is important to each of us. Because just in this idea of rhythm, there's much about you as well as around the people and that know you and that you work with and that you study with in terms of what they see as important to you as part of that witness in terms of your faith. So I thought I'd play a little game with you just to make sure you're all still awake after that. So we're going to play a game of name the emoji. Okay, so emoji is going to appear on the screen, and with the person next to you, I would like, I'm going to give you like 20 seconds. It should be really easy for a certain age demographic in the room. So 20 seconds is what I'm going to give you to discuss what you think this is representing. Okay, so the first one is this. Okay, so the person next to you, have a quick conversation, and then I'm going to ask you for your thoughts, and I'll take it from you from across the room.
Just like,
okay. Anyone want to shout out appropriate answers only, please? What they think this emoji is representing? Prayer. Yes. Not a high five. Some of you use it as a high five. It's not a high five, it's definitely a prayer. So yes, the first one is prayer. Okay, second one. Discuss with the person next to you what you think this is representing. Okay, anyone want to give this one a shot?
Open your Bible.
Open your Bible, yeah, read your Bible. Yes, this is better. There isn't actually a specific Bible emoji. I was supposed to go with a book, but Bible was where I was going. And finally, this one should be fairly straightforward. Church. Why was there a negative, like, oh, church, when you said that? It was not like, oh, yeah, it's church. We'll work on that for next time. So luckily, you'll be all glad to know, that's the rhythm that we're actually looking at today. So hopefully by the end of this evening, instead of going church, you'll be like, church. More positive. Exactly. So what I thought would be useful to do before we dive into some of this stuff in terms of what the rhythm of church looks like would just be to give you an idea of where I'm coming from with what I mean by church this evening. We know that in the New Testament, it describes the church in many different ways. Not necessarily about the building or the bricks and the mortar. And that's kind of where we're not going to be going this evening. So we're not going to be talking about the bricks or the roof or all that kind of things. We're actually going to be talking about the idea of it being a place of family, a place of community, about one another and what it looks like for each of us to be part of that community and what the Bible says about that in terms of our rhythm of life and how that should be working. So we're going to read from Hebrews 10. It will appear on the screen, but if you want to follow in your Bibles or on your phone, that's also okay with me. So Hebrews 10, we're going to start in verse 19. And interestingly, for those of you that were in our morning services, this was referenced this morning in our church covenant. So some of you have already signed up to doing this. So Hebrews 10, we're going to go 19 to 25, but we're going to stop after 23 and split it kind of into two there. So it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So here we read the writer urging us to draw near, to continue in our faith and obedience because of the gospel. Interestingly, anywhere that it says the word therefore, it's really always important to look back at the verse before and see what the writer is saying therefore for. And here what we see is that it's the sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So this morning, some of our young people, we were looking at a passage in Luke, and it was talking about Mary and Joseph going to the temple to sacrifice, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We know and we believe, because of that gospel truth, that is no longer necessary. So that is why that therefore is there. But it also talks about a confidence to enter into the most holy place. In the Old Testament, the most holy place was the temple in Jerusalem, and mere mortals like me and you wouldn't have been able to enter that place. We would have been able to sacrifice, and the high priest would have gone, and he would have gone into those spaces on our behalf, and it would have all been about being in that location and in that space. But we know that through the gospel, we have the confidence to enter into that most holy space. And that is the connection that you have with God, and that is the relationship that you have with him. And we can enter into that holy place. We don't need a high priest or the offerings to be granted access for forgiveness. We already have it. As soon as we have that relationship and we know we've accepted that relationship, we know that we have that access. And when we gather together in a place to worship and to read his word, we trust that his presence is here. So this evening, as we've worshiped together and as we read from his scriptures, and we trust that God is moving in this space, that his presence is here, that he's speaking to us and will continue to do so. But in this passage, we're also given instructions of what it looks like and what it talks about in terms of being that gathered church family. So first of all, in verse 22, it tells us to draw near, to gather together. And as we do with a confidence that our prayers, our worship, and our communion together are all worship to him and all worship to God. And we do this because at the end of that verse, it says that we're encouraged to do this in full assurance of faith. And that's because of what, as we've already mentioned, Jesus has done for each of us here. We need to draw near to these, the idea that we need to draw near to these truths is to have that rhythm in place to keep us near, to keep us in that community, to keep us in those habits, in those routines of drawing near time and time again to God when we need him in times of desperation, but also in the everyday mundane and even in the celebration as well. God isn't just bothered about the times when you're struggling or finding things difficult, but actually wants you to draw near at all times. And that involves practice, that involves patience, that involves remembering that you're part of a community and that there are people here who are praying for you, who are with you, who are supporting you. So that reminder to draw near comes again and again and again in terms of what it looks like to be part of that community. We're also told to let us hold fast in verse 23. Now that doesn't mean run fast like I was trying to do yesterday, but it means to keep moving, to keep close. And this is a sign of that faith is in our life, that we, no matter even if we can't see that end point, if for those planners in the room, they struggle with knowing what's coming next, and we know and we trust that God is just taking us to that next corner to reveal the next part of his plan. And again, for some of us, that comes when we're in community, that reassurance, that confidence comes when we give that space and that time in our life to be part of what God is doing in a space. In times of trouble and in times of ease, our faith is important, and that should be demonstrated through our choices, through that keyhole that we mentioned earlier, that when we see that keyhole, when other people view that keyhole into your life, they see that you draw near to God repeatedly, that you take that time out of your schedule to be there and to be in those places that you need to be. Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25 say, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Importantly, we are told how best to do all of this in community in these passages. Stir up one another. We're not told to maintain the status quo, but we're told and encouraged to be with one another in everything we do, to make sure that it is done from a place of love and good works, to encourage one another in that work. In the word of the High School Musical song, we're all in this together. And this is what the Christian life is meant to be. It's not meant to be a singular thing. It's not meant to be something you do alone, but it's meant to be something you do together, to learn, to pray, to worship, to encourage and encounter God in all of the areas of our life. And also here we see the idea of accountability, another characteristic that we should be seeing when we gather together. That iron sharpens iron idea of coming together and being encouraged in that faith to make things go on and to help our faith become easier and longer. And just as an extra reminder that we are to do this together and not individually, verse 25 makes it clear not to neglect meeting together, as this is a habit or a rhythm of some. Again, that idea of encouragement is here to attend church, to be part of a church community. We know it's not always easy and sometimes seems like it would be simpler if we could do this Christian thing alone. However, this is not what Scripture tells us or what we see happening anywhere in the New Testament. As it was through these communities that we read about that we not only did people come to grow in their faith because of others, but others saw something that they wanted to be part of and wanted to come and check out. And surely this is what we want to see happening in our lives. Our faith growing, but also the people around us seeing something that they want to be part of. And that's where this rhythm becomes twofold, in the sense of a rhythm for you personally, but also a rhythm of that keyhole and that viewpoint into your life and what is happening there. So all of these instructions, encouragements and suggestions, whatever you want to call them, and they emphasize how the individual Christian needs the support of the whole community, and this is not something to be done alone. So what we're going to do is just for the next few minutes is we're just going to take a little bit of time to think about the idea of rhythms, to think about what is happening in your life, and the band are just going to come up to kind of prepare us to take us into the last song of worship. But we're just going to spend a little bit of time, just a couple of minutes, thinking about, as we start this new year, what rhythms do we have in place, what rhythms do we not have in place, and what things do we maybe need to think of differently or prioritise more as we go into this new year. So spend just a couple of minutes, and then I'll just pray for us as well before we hand back over. So as we begin this new year thinking about the rhythms in our lives and the keyholes that show what's important to us, let's reflect on our commitment to the Gather community and how the relationship that each of us have is currently being lived out. What could we do better? What could we do more of? Maybe even what do we need to be doing less of? Father, we thank you for that reminder that we are not to be doing this journey alone. That we, by your grace, by your truth, Father, are to be in community with you, but also with others on this journey. Father, we thank you that you remind us that we are to draw close to you, that we are to continually walk with you, and that through these checkpoints, through these regular reminders, through these rhythms in our life where we do that, whether naturally or whether in a position that we constantly have to remind ourselves. Father, I pray that we will grow closer and closer to you, and that because of that, the people around us would see you at work in our lives, and that we would see them wanting to know more about you, wanting to come into that same place and draw close to you as well, Father, and that through that we continue to see more and more people coming to know you. In your name, amen.